Hey Mike, how's your day going?
Oh, work's been keeping me busy and the website updates are going well. How are you?
Just peachy. I baked you some fresh cookies. Do you want some?
Wow, thanks, Sasha. Oatmeal raisin? My favorite.
Oh, really?
Hey, these are really good. Wait, let me go get Bren and Brian. They'll want to have some.
Don't bother them, they're busy.
Busy. Ben's never too busy for cookies.
He's busy writing something for the website. I believe I saw the words Carter Grayson on a screen, so he'll be there for some time. And before you ask, Brian is busy in the lab, and there's a giant keep out sign slapped right on the door. He's been locked in there for 4 days. So these cookies are just for you.
Just for me?
Of course, you do so much for the show and for us. So I thought I'd do something nice for you.
Wow, thanks, Sasha. That's so nice. Are you feeling okay?
I'm fine. Just a bit shaken up after the whole teleporter thing. Come to think of it, I've been meaning to ask you, what did you think about all of that?
It was weird. Teleporters freaked me out. I don't really want to talk about it. I can't believe you volunteered.
Well, you know me and Star Wars, Earth, Trek, Star Trek, of course. Anyway, I'm so glad you like the cookies. We should probably get some of those episodes recorded. Let's do this.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael, aka maybe the White Ranger. I know I lost my powers a while ago, but sure, I guess I'm the White Ranger. And I'm being joined by the Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan.
Just don't let it go to your head. We don't need a Jesus Ranger.
Well, see, here's the thing though. I don't know. I could just still be a weakened Green Ranger for all we know.
I'm sorry. I am getting a text right now from Brian that says, "Yes, indeedy, you are now. He has bestowed upon you the white power of light." I feel like we should have really discussed this when we actually reviewed white light, but you know, semantics.
The semantics. But anyways, yeah, I guess I am the White Ranger now.
Otherwise, you'd be powerless, colorless, blob of lack of color. I don't
I'd just
know.
be Zordon at this point.
Don't be ridiculous.
Okay,
You'd be alpha.
I'll be a morph of a blend of the two. But anyways, we're doing two for one, opposites attract, and Zed's a monster mash in today's episode. And let's get right into it for two for one with everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through and an eye roll from Sasha.
It's standard procedure now.
You can't see it, but sometimes you can hear it. But
It's
anyways.
the little awkward pause. I just sort of input it and don't say anything, and you just know.
Yeah. But anyways, for the quick run through of two for one, we have a new intro. It's the second new intro of season two already. But then we begin at the youth center where Kim shows Trini her outfit, talks about her mom's purse, and Richie asks Trini if they could study later. After some Bulk and Skull shenanigans, Tommy realizes that he's late and runs home for a shower. At the park on their date, Tommy and Kim enjoy their montage. Zed sends putties to attack Tommy and Kim. The putties steal lipstick, and Zed turns the purse into a monster. Tommy and Kim morph, and the monster freezes them. Zed now turns the lipstick into a monster, and Zordon summons the other Rangers. Zack goes help Tommy and Kim, and Jason goes to fight the lipstick monster. Zack, however, gets frozen too. Jason takes a slice out of the lipstick monster. Zed makes her grow, and the Red Dragon Thunder Zord time. They do battle, and Jason getting smacked around like he is. Trini and Billy watch on from the command center. Billy finally finishes the device that he's been working on, and him and Trini morph into action. Billy frees the others. Tommy takes on the purse monster while the others help Jason. With the help of Saba, Tommy defeats the purse monster, and then the others summon their Zords to aid Jason, and they defeat the lipstick monster. Now, why didn't they just summon their Zords? So you already knew that they had summoned their Zords. You didn't have to have him go to help him, and then, all right, we're here, we're summoning our Zords now. And it's like, you just summon the Zords,
buffer get over it. Time.
Sure, why not? But anyways, that's the episode of 2 for 1.
So let's start with the fact that this is our first episode post-White Light, and this is sort of the first, like, post-two-parter foray into sort of the Tommy's thing. And something that I mentioned at the end of White Light was, like, that Zordon says that, oh, Tommy's the leader now, and we don't really see that yet. I think it becomes more apparent in these episodes, but that's not the part that I have a problem with. I have a problem with that, as you all know, but we're going to leave that at White Light. This episode is weird for a couple of reasons. One, because Zack has like one line of dialogue, Trini has like two, and then Jason gets sort of smacked around. But what's interesting is, first of all, that Kimberly has a really ugly purse.
Correction. Kim's mother has a very ugly purse.
Yeah, it doesn't even look like a purse. It looks like a small display case you have on top of a display case, or like a jewelry box, first of all. Second of all, the monster also doesn't make sense. You couldn't find just like a generic blue purse or like a coin purse or something, because the purse monster looks nothing like the purse that they borrowed the inspiration from. At least the lipstick monster looks sort of related-ish to the lipstick, but, you know, props there, I guess. What's interesting is, like, I think we actually see this monster sort of bleed, because I think Jason manages to get a cut in there.
Yeah, Jason
like,
gets
oh,
a...
the face!
Yeah, Jason gets a slash right on the cheek.
But there's also this, like, first of all, we weren't really made clear why Zack had to be the one to go and help Kim and Tommy when, like, he wasn't gonna be able to do much of anything, and the monster didn't look like he was actually gonna hurt them, just sort of froze them in place, and that was it. I liked Trini helping Billy get the whatever bullshit science, excuse me, malarkey science. Shush, Grandma, I know I said a naughty word. And so she's helping him with, you know, pseudoscience-y mumbo-jumbo to undo whatever is freezing everybody. But there's another part of this at the beginning of the episode that's just kind of weird. It's this weird moment between Trini and Richie that goes literally nowhere. I guess since we're buffering up the romance in the show, we need to do that. But, like, why Richie? Billy's literally sitting right there. Trini and Billy should have ended up together. Fight me. But I guess now that Richie's no longer a plot device for the red, as a red herring for, you know, as the Maltese Falcon or whatever he's supposed to be, they needed to do something with him. So, like, hey, we'll just throw him at Trini because she's not going to be on the show for much longer.
But that's what they were doing from the start, though, with Richie. They kind of made him a love interest of Trini right off the bat when he was
introduced. Did they? Because I never really noticed that.
No, and it was definitely there.
Well,
because
there
had been times when he was just working at the juice bar, and like you can kind of see like Trini a little smitten, the picnic that they were having that one time when he was riding his bike. So nope,
zero recollection of that. It was so irrelevant
So they actually did kind of make him part of like a Trini love interest type deal since really the beginning for him.
Which is funny because doesn't he date Kim in the comics actually?
No,
that's somebody else. Whatever. There's so many rando characters.
Trini technically dates Jason in the comics.
Yeah, that part's also weird, but I will say that at least that makes more sense than this because, you know, Trini and Jason had like known each other forever. They literally fought in space together in the comics and whatnot. So like that part makes sense. Richie and Trini make zero sense. He has no personality, first of all. He's like a cone. You could literally replace him with a broomstick and like give it a mouth. And it had the same effect.
I think if they had fleshed out Richie a bit more, it would probably be a different story. But they didn't.
What would have been interesting is like throughout the course of like the season leading up to White Light, we actually saw these characters interact. Like we saw a little bit of interactions, but it sort of said that like Curtis and Richie were friends because they're like the two other characters that were in Bulk and Skull. So of course they'd be friends. But like, we didn't really see them in, like, there wasn't enough for me to say like, oh, he'd be a great candidate for Ranger. Also because this whole additional Ranger sort of came out of like, oh, it's a new Ranger. And it kind of came out of nowhere with very little buildup to it. But again, we already covered that. So Anyway, I find it really hilarious that Bulk has a cousin named Waldo, and it took all of my effort not to ask where's Waldo. I really wanted to. I was waiting for a where's Waldo joke.
You just did it. There you go.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Their power also, like, I fully believe that yes, there is like a specific energy signature that is associated with the Power Rangers, but I refuse to believe, and clearly it doesn't work out in this episode, that Bulk and Skull's Ranger detector is like a glorified metal detector that I don't even remember if it detected anything. Oh no, it detected a bunch of kids at the beach at the end of the episode. At this point, I feel like the Rangers should have just told Bulk and Skull that they were Power Rangers just to save them from this.
Why would they do that?
Well, A, it would involve not being jerks, but two, it would actually solve a lot of their problems because then Bulk and Skull wouldn't be constantly doing ridiculous things or getting into trouble or trying to prove who the Rangers are, which puts them in additional danger.
But we need our slapstick comedy.
Do we though? Do we? I'd really much rather they flesh out the characters' personalities and backstories instead of the slapstick. But I don't get to be happy. So that was like my entire mantra. We were recording season two of Nerdy Notions. It's not just not allowed to be happy.
Well, except for right now, you're very happy with WandaVision.
This is true, but it hasn't ended yet, so.
We got three episodes. Well, at the time of this recording, we have three episodes left of WandaVision.
Yeah, so don't go in the comments and be like, how did you miss the last three episodes of WandaVision? Like, yes, we know they will have aired by now. Anyway, it's interesting that the metal detector thing that Bulk and Skull have actually brings them into the water first. And my first thought is like, what if there's like a Power Ranger artifact in there? That's like buried. Maybe it's the turbo the powers.
Maybe they found the dragon sword.
Maybe we don't know what happened to the dragon sword.
From all I know, the dragon sword is just chilling in the water.
Maybe it didn't get destroyed. You know what it was? Maybe they did what they did with the thunder swords, and they just recycled the dragon sword into the white tiger sword. But that's never been confirmed, so we don't know.
For all I know, it's just chilling at the bottom of the lake,
right? Or that could be where the Zeo crystal is hidden, or like there's like a bajillion ridiculous possibilities of what it could be, because there's always these like, maybe it's the dino gems of, you know, buried powers and things. No, think about it, it could be the dino gems. We never saw where Tommy found the dino gems. Yeah, that's a thing. All right.
Yep.
Billy and Trini saving Zach, Kim, and Tommy was cool. Like I said, I like when Trini and Billy get to do stuff together because I thought they had really good chemistry. What is the point of Lord Zed? Like, at this point, I am very much questioning his integrity as a supervillain. We find out later that there is a reason for their actions, but so far, it just feels like he's doing the Rita thing, where he's just, like, spying on the Rangers and waiting for whatever quirky thing they're doing this episode to use it as an excuse to build a monster. I mean, come on. How much of a derp do you have to be to look at the purse and think, oh, that's what I'm going to make into a villain? How about a nuclear weapon or a rocket or, like, you know, something that can pack a punch instead of a purse?
Yeah.
I ask the real questions here, people.
Ben also has entered the chat.
know? Yeah.
Ben's not here for the record. I just had to throw that out there because you know Ben would find a way to enter the chat somehow.
And then, you know, Kim's purse reverts to its original non-red, non-coin purse format of, boy. This is a really bizarre episode because, again, it's continuing the trend of, like, at least, like, Trini and Jason actually do stuff in this episode, and Zach just has, like, one line of, like, I want to go fight the lipstick monster. No, we need you to go help Tommy and Kimberly. What's he gonna do? We don't know, but he needs to go there. Okay. I mean, it makes sense to split them up, but there was never a good reason as to what Zach could have done differently other than take the monster on. But then he freezes and the monster just, like, doesn't do anything to them. So, I don't know. It's... At least, you know, there is... Here's what I say. I do have one note here. As much as I detest the Tommy and Kim... Well, first of all, I just don't like Tommy. So, like, why would I care about who he's romantically involved with? But they do accurately portray... First of all, I find it ridiculous that it took them until now to go on a first date.
Well, technically, this isn't the first date. This is just a date. They never said it was a first date.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. At the beginning of the episode, she says that, oh, my mom took you to her first date with my dad. And it sort of implies that. It's weird.
They imply but they've done things before in, like, season one. I know,
which is why this is just, like, inconsistent writing. See, I stopped myself there from using a bad word. It did feel like a first date. It was a little awkward. They were a little unsure, and then it kind of melds, and everything is fine. Kim doing the dancing fight thing was kind of cool. It kind of, like... What's interesting is, like, everybody's fighting style ends up becoming sort of blended, so they learn from one another. Whether this is intentional or not, I don't know, but I'm gonna go with that. Yeah. And a generic sword fight, I don't know.
Woohoo, generic sword fight.
An episode.
All right, which then leads us over to the next episode, which is Opposites Attract. Once again, everyone's favorite segment in my mind and Sasha's massive eye roll, my quick run through of the episode, where we began at the youth center and Billy shows Trini his weather device. Kim and her friend show up in Girl Scout outfits and Billy is smitten by Kim's friend, Laura. And I just have to say, Billy gets all the ladies, but we never happens to what happens to these ladies after that one episode. Like, we have to ask Billy some serious questions here, but we'll get to that later.
Honestly, I think Billy just, like, doesn't have good luck with girls.
We'll talk about this later. Anyway, Zed gets an idea from Billy in regards to the magnetic event. Zach, Trini, and Jason are working out, or Tommy and Jason are working out, Billy back at his lab, and Kim and the girls at base camp for their field trip. Billy's now outside, and Zed sends Goldar to steal Billy's device. Billy's fighting has gotten so much better. However, Goldar does get the device. Billy rushes to the command center, and then Zed turns the polarizer device into a monster. The monster disrupts the Earth's polarity, causing chaos, and did Jason just yell to Tommy and Zach that they need to get to the command center in front of everyone at the youth center? Yeah, that's the thing. Kim goes to look for a park ranger, but then goes to the command center instead. At the command center, the team is briefed by Zordon. Tommy goes to aid the girls while the others take on the monster. The girls are impressed by the White Ranger. Meanwhile, the others are taking on putties all over the place. Some banging music and fight between Tommy and Goldar, because like Ron Wasserman has banging music. The Rangers defeat the putties and they use the Power Blaster for a partial victory. Zed makes the monster grow and it's Thunder Megazord time and the Rangers win, because of course. The girls get rewarded and Billy gets the girl. How does Billy have such great luck in single episodes, but we never see them ever again? Oh, and this is one of the few times I'm actually going to do this, but there's a really good quote at the end of the episode from Lord Zed. And the quote is, "I should have known that science and Rangers don't mix." It's a pretty interesting quote to hear from Lord Zed.
Well, Zeddy's all magic-y, mumbo, icky things, and Billy's all science-y. The quote doesn't really make sense because he's just pissy that he lost again.
Well, I mean, but keep in mind, he tried using, he normally does, like, Zed actually isn't the magic type. Rita was more on the magic side because Rita was actually casting spells.
That's right, but it's a different form of magical power because he's not building things. But he's zapping his little stick around.
But this is the one time where he actually tries to use science against the Rangers. Because
that's fair.
So he actually is using science to fight the Rangers, which is why it is an interesting comment made by Zed.
If you say so. So I guess to start things off, I liked when Billy uses gadgets. I'm sad we didn't really fully understand what it did, but the lightning storm part was cool. And this episode didn't really go in the direction I thought it would, because I figured with all of the talk of compasses that like the kids' compasses wouldn't work or whatever, and then Trini or Kim would have to find them, and that didn't really happen, but whatever. I really hate these one-off characters that sort of get introduced purely for plot points and then we never see them again. And that's Laura. But what's interesting is that like Trini's there and she's just there to sort of push Billy to talk to a girl. I'm like, he knows how to talk to a girl. He talks to you and Kim. Like,
I think there's a difference between talking to girls that you know that you're just strictly friends with and then girls that you're like, I'd like to date that girl.
I mean, fair, but he literally just met her and knew nothing about her. So, like, anyway.
that right there, he doesn't know her. So he's maybe nervous about trying to talk to her because he's afraid. Because how many times have we seen Billy talk to people and over science talk things?
Okay, but that doesn't, I guess, fine. Awkward nerd trope in its prime. So I guess Kim is involved with Girl Scouts now. And it's interesting that like Billy's issue isn't so much of talking to the girl, or maybe he uses this as an excuse. It's the fact that he doesn't think they'd have anything in common, which he doesn't really have a basis for, but all right. And then you have Bulk and Skull, who plan on using an antenna to hook it up to a satellite to find the Rangers. I'm hearing Ben's voice going, "That's not how science works." He's in my head now. Like, that's just how it is.
One episode, we counted how many times he actually said, "That's not how science works."
I know. What was it? Like, what was the final count? Like 5 or 6?
Yeah, something like that.
Billy's garage is basically his lab, so it's kind of funny. It makes me wonder about his parents, which we sort of get in the comics a little bit, but not enough that I'm satisfied with, of like who Billy's parents are and what their relationship is, and like the fact that they just let their kid turn their garage into his own personal lab is pretty cool.
I mean, I think the rules are, as long as you don't blow up the house, you're okay to use the garage as a lab.
That's fair. And then Billy's, you mentioned this in your recap, but Billy's powers, or Billy's fighting ability has really improved. Like, he was ready to, like, fight the putties and take on Goldar. Like, he was on point.
And unmorphed.
And unmorphed, which makes what happens later a little bit confusing, in the sense of, like, Billy clearly knows this monster, but you also need to stop Goldar. So, like, Billy was like, I'm going to go take on Goldar. And Zordon is like, no, Tomy's going to go take on Goldar because
they have a long-standing rivalry and they have to fight it out.
I think it's more of the fact to, like, continue establishing Tomy as the new Jason, as, like, the leader of the team and the pain in the whatever. So I feel like it's a cool mode of confidence to Billy that he's like, yeah, let me go take on Goldar by myself. But instead he sort of gets tossed to the other Rangers of like, oh, just go fight the monster. And our new it boy, Tomy, shall take care of this Goldar. So it's like this continued isolation of like how the Rangers aren't as strong alone, but Tomy can take on Goldar kind of a thing. And this is why it becomes the Tomy show eventually. And it's really annoying seeing it happen.
Well, according to Ben, it became the Tomy show right when they had Greenleaf Evil Part 1.
I mean, they really did stretch out the whole, he has his powers, he loses his powers. They're back, they're gone, they're dying, they're leaving. They reappear, I mean, they're recharged, they're gone. Are they here? Will they come back? Like,
they're changing up the way the story is based off of how the Sentai footage in Jew Ranger was. Because Jew Ranger, that's how it kind of was with the Green Ranger. Although the difference is that the candle that plays a factor in the losing of the powers for Tomy in here is utilized differently than how it is really used in the Sentai.
I don't care about the Sentai. Yeah. I'm sorry, Brian, don't kill me. But like, I just don't. I think that if you're going to adapt something and you're going to use something, it needs to make sense. And I think they just like the fact that Tomy got popular and he was a cool ranger and they just didn't know what to do with him. So it was this will they, won't they of ranger powers that I think I talked about when we were talking about the episode where he finally freaking loses his powers after like 20 freaking episodes or however many it is. I assume it's at least 20. So, because I have recorded, I think, at least three or six episodes that were involving his powers or losing his powers or almost losing his powers or whatever. So what could have been a really interesting Billy-centric episode kind of gets a little sidelined, but it does have a happy ending of, you know, of Billy, you know, asking Laura. They talk about science and they're going to go do sciencey things. And but it was funny. It was like the Girl Scouts earned their like survival badges or whatever, bravery badges, and then they go on to earn their therapy badges with Bulk and Skull. And I was like, I didn't know therapy badges were a thing. Because the girl was like, they're there. It was all in your imagination. I'm like, are you asking for a therapy badge?
I could use the therapy badge. I think all of us here at Voices from the Grid can use the therapy badge for the torment that we endure ourselves in doing this show.
We are very masochistic as with some of these episodes. But it should be noticed that Zach and Jason are very much absent from this episode. And then Trini just sort of disappears after the beginning of the episode and then comes back when they all like morph and are Power Ranger fighting together.
And as this has been noted, like with Ben and with Brian and again with you, you know, this has become the norm at this point now, where we're getting really bad ADR for Jason, Zach, and Trini when they're in the Ranger outfits, and we're just not seeing them around at this point now. And given how we're going into our next episode of Zed's Monster Mash,
where it's just like blatant,
yeah,
it's like well, Ranger keep away.
No, it's not that. Like this, like it's all been blatant. Like when you're an adult and you watch this, you notice how blatant it is. But this episode then goes into Ninja Encounter, where it really becomes blatant, which we'll talk about in the next episode when the entire gang is back together.
Yeah,
because we're literally going for the two-parter of White Light into the three-parter of Ninja Encounter, which is bringing us new characters.
Yep.
So, you all good with Opposites Attract?
Yeah, it was. They're all basically filler episodes, but I wish this episode had done a little bit more towards Billy's character. Like, him actually fighting Goldar would have been so amazing for his character, where it would have been shown that he's not just the brains of this operation, but he's also able to, like, toe-to-toe with Goldar. And it's really unfair that, like, Tommy is still basically Tommy. And yeah, he has a new ranger suit, but, like, aside from a talking tiger dagger thing,
Saba,
why is Tommy better? Why is Tommy stronger? Other than, like, yes, he's been, like, there was an opportunity here that was lost.
Yeah. So with that, we're going into our third and final episode of this episode, which is Zed's Monster Mash with the quick run through. And it's Halloween.
You and me in Halloween episodes.
Halloween. It's
funny because we're recording this, like, right after we recorded episode 6 of WandaVision, which was also a Halloween themed episode. So it's kind of funny.
It's Halloween. It's the greatest holiday. Anyways, at the youth center, the Rangers are taking kids trick or treating. The peace conference is brought up between Kim and Billy. This is actually like the second or third time now at this point that the peace conference has been brought up in the last few episodes. Mm-hmm. Zed likes Halloween. He loves the idea. He loves the idea of dressing up like monsters and scaring people.
It's the only time he ever fit in. Sorry, continue.
But you know what? He wants a party. You know what? I like this Zed guy. He wants the party. He wants to have fun on Halloween. I like this. As long as he's giving out good candy, I'm not going to egg and toilet paper his house. Or
I palace would anyway.
Or whatever. So Zed sends putties disguised as kids dressed as the Rangers. Oh, how adorable. And Tommy is chaperoning them. It's almost time for the first annual Monster Mash. I told you, Zed is such a swell guy here. I like this guy. Goldar crashes the trick-or-treating and the punnies reveal themselves to attack Tommy. Tommy is kidnapped, and in the Monster Mash, Tommy tries to morph but is stopped by past monsters who steal his morpher. Billy and Kim are worried about Tommy and they head to the command center. Zordon briefs them on the situation and then Billy and Kim morph into action and crash Zed's party. Billy gets Tommy's morpher and he morphs into action. Now the monsters are just being lined up for a beating. Like, literally, one will come up, get beat up, lay down on the ground. Next one comes up, gets beat up, lays on the ground. You just see all these monsters laying on the ground. It's not really a good monster match. The Rangers are being bullies and we're just wrecking the party. Now the others arrive and Zed makes pumpkin wrapper grow. Yes, pumpkin wrapper is like the main antagonist of these monsters, which is kind of cool. I've always liked pumpkin wrapper. And then it's Thunder Megazord time. The Rangers win and Zed is displeased. I mean, hey, you had your party ruined. I mean, I would be kind of displeased too as well. So that is Zed's Monster Mash. Look at that. We did two Halloween episodes in a matter of like 4 days.
Yeah. So let's start with Zed's little crush on Tommy, because that's what I'm gonna call it at this point. Because, you know, the last episodes you and I recorded together, Zed was still obsessed with Tommy and getting his powers or kidnapping Tommy or doing something with Tommy, to the point where, like, I think he has a crush on Tommy. It's gotta be those long dark locks or something. But
it's definitely the hair. I mean, Tommy's flow,
the hair.
I mean, Tommy's flow from season one to season two massively improved and it's fantastic.
Anyway, while Michael deals with his own obsession with Tommy's hair, let's talk about what it is missing from this episode. Jason, Zach, and Trini.
Yeah.
Like, they don't appear at all until, like, we see morphed bodies. That is it. And it's explained, I guess, that they're at the preschool help or the elementary school or whatever it was, and they can't be reached and yada yada yada.
Yeah, because I think elementary school kids were coming to the youth center, and then I think they're either dealing with middle school kids or preschoolers or something.
It morphed hilariously, because I think Ernie says they're still at the elementary school, but then Trini later on says they're still at the preschool, or Zordon says it. But
well, I mean, in fairness, some preschool, there is some preschool that is in elementary
school. Yes, but there's a different, right? But it's either a preschool or an elementary school. It's still called one school. But anyway, there's several kids, at least two that I saw, that were dressed as Power Rangers, and I'm not talking about the putties.
Yeah.
When we actually, the opening scene at the youth center, we see a kid that comes in who's dressed like the Blue Ranger, and then there's a girl who's dressed like the Pink Ranger. I would have killed for those costumes as a kid. Like, those are awesome costumes, and they had legit helmets, not like the stupid masks. Like, I would have gladly dressed up as a Power Ranger for Halloween, even though by the time I came to America, they didn't really make girls' Halloween costumes that weren't awful. For Power Rangers, so
he still didn't really make any good girl Power Ranger costumes. That's even when, true. Like, I actually still, it's I'm, as I'm pointing in that direction behind me,
because everybody can totally see that.
Oh yeah, but you can. In the bedroom behind, next to mine, in the closet, I actually have the original Jason Red Ranger costume still in the box.
Wow, and you're gonna keep it for your non-existent grandchildren to wear in 100 years, where no one will remember Power Rangers.
We'll see. I don't know.
I mean, and what do you plan to do with it? Because you're not gonna fit into it.
Oh yeah, that's true. But
I mean, maybe for like the 50. You know what? You can auction it off for the like 50th anniversary special of Power Rangers or something like that, and make bank.
Probably, but yeah. Or when I eventually have kids, I can have my kid dress up as the Red Ranger for once.
Well, let's hope there isn't anything in that costume that would have been recalled.
We are talking about 1993, after all.
Exactly. So anyway, Zed's sort of out for blood, but I guess he's just cranky because the White Ranger keeps defeating him, or he's just cranky because Tommy will never date him. I don't know what it is at this point. So Zed's plan is really dumb, but basically he was like, oh, if I defeat the White Ranger, the other Rangers will fall. I'm like, no, they won't. If Tommy's at a commission, there's still 5 Rangers that still managed to put up a pretty good fight without Tommy. Like, they fought Rita off without Tommy. Like, Tommy's a great help, don't get me wrong. He's an ally, he's a friend, he's a good fighter, etc. But like, getting rid of Tommy does not magically guarantee you insta victory. Like, it's just dumb. But I guess we need to pat out the dialogue for Zed. Poor Balkan Skull. Their slapstick's getting kind of mean. Like at this point it's ridiculous. Like, he reaches into the hand of the hot candies or whatever. And like, their costumes are cool though. They're dressed as like a Roman and Mongolian or Japanese or Mongolian warrior or something. And they're kind of cool costumes. And then for some reason they think that the Rangers can shrink down to become powers. I guess if they can, but why would he think they can shrink down? When they fight the big monster, they don't grow. They get into a mechanical machine thing that looks like an animal.
But, like, I mean, there was, one thing I will say about Balkan Skull is that when it comes to costumes, they get the best.
They do. They're very fashionable.
I mean, I still remember Skull in that princess dress. I mean, he was just fantastic. And then Bulk is Elvis.
Oh, that was... that was something else. So it's a weird episode because the absence of the other Rangers is really felt, in my opinion. Whereas like in other episodes, you see like a glimpse of them where they had a line, but here it's just you feel that something isn't right. And obviously we adults know that something isn't right, but like, I feel like I would notice as a kid if my favorite Ranger wasn't on screen the entire episode. But I do like the fact that it does sort of continue this friendship that Kim and Billy have. So it's interesting that like, after Tommy is captured, Jason and, Billy and Kim realize that something's wrong, and they call Zordon, and Zordon is like, ah, yes, he has been captured. I'm like, cool. When were you going to call the Rangers and let them know? Yeah, I mean, you can argue he just found out and didn't have a chance to call them when they teleported.
Well, not only that, but I've noticed a lot in these last few episodes that the Rangers are proactively going to the command center without Zordon contacting them. They're just going, that wasn't right, let's go to the command center. And they're being more proactive about it instead of waiting for Zordon to reach out to them.
Well, yeah, it's almost like they're trained Rangers with powers and abilities that fought off, you know, a whole crap ton of monsters. But they have experience now.
But in season one, they always had to wait for Zordon to bring him to the command center.
Not always.
Most times.
Sometimes they noticed something was wrong. Like, they didn't actively go to the command center, but they would contact Zordon and be like, hey, Zordon, is everything okay? And then he'd be like, oh, yeah, there's a monster.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, you're right that it's more, you see it, it's more prevalent this season. The monster, like, it was some monsters that were old, and I was just like, I don't care. To be honest, I didn't care. I can't remember if this happens or not, of a little bit more of, I don't think it does, of like kind of a more concrete friendship between Billy and Tommy, because I don't think they have one. They're like on the same team, but like I haven't seen them like really individually interact or anything like that. So maybe there's potential for that. Other than like my biggest note here was like the very clear absence of the other three Rangers. Beyond that, it's a very generic Halloween episode. The only cool thing was like Billy being dressed as a mad scientist, I guess, and like Kim was dressed like a harlequin or like a circus performer of some kind, and Tommy was a pirate. And as the episode started, I'm like, oh cool, what are Jason, Zach, and Trini gonna wear? And then I never find out because they're not in this episode.
Womp womp.
And that's all she wrote.
Yep. So, since that's all she wrote, what an interesting way to put it, young lady. Where can the people find you on the social medias?
Well, I'm glad you asked. And today, I'm going to tell you exactly where you can find me.
The same damn place every other time. I'm just kidding.
Really? So it's geekgirl101.tumblr.com. That is always a place I am most often found. I live on Tumblr at this point.
I'm so sorry.
It's, you know, you got to carve out your own little niche, and I've managed to carve it out, so I'm fine. You can also find me on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. Kaplan in honor of the great Billy Kaplan, who is our beautiful Space Merlin, Jewish Space Merlin. And of course, Geeky Captain Writes, .wordpress.com, where you will eventually be reading my full written review of WandaVision and lots of other comic book and movie reviews. Michael, what about you?
You can find me on the Twitters at @thelindemann75, Facebook at facebook.com/x95productions, doing the gaming thing on Twitch at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, which you can watch me live on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And then always here on the website at txhthockey.com for this show specifically, VFTG. And I'm actually, depending on when this episode airs, I am doing a Nerdy Notion /VFTG thing for TXHT, where I'm actually going to be doing the Mighty Ducks movies and the Disney Plus series for TXHT.
Do you need a friend for that?
For the Mighty Ducks?
Because I happened to, well, I love the first two movies, and then I guess I'll have to watch the new movie. I have very negative memories of the third Mighty Ducks movie.
I enjoyed the third movie because it's like, I'll talk about it more when I do that specific episode, but like for D3 and the Mighty Ducks, it's like, sure, I wasn't in high school yet when the Ducks went to high school, and albeit they went to a private school where I went to public school, but I actually kind of dealt with a lot of the same things that they were dealing with when they went to the private school and when they went into high school to play hockey there, I went through a lot of the same issues, ironically. So it kind of mirrored for me. So it actually does resonate really well for me. But you'll have to listen to me when I do that. But yeah, no, I'm doing the Mighty Ducks because because honestly, the TXHT podcast, outside of the interview with Bulbul Kurtanbay, the first professional women's hockey player from Kazakhstan, and you know, we haven't really done much with it, so it's a way to kind of get the podcast back up and running again. So I'm doing it with the Mighty Ducks.
Snaps for that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So I'm stealing like the Nerdy Notions VFTG thing, but for TXHT.
Do it. Just make sure your recap for that is funnier than your recaps for Power Rangers.
Oh. I thought my recap one for Hot Zed's Monster Mash was pretty good.
Depends on your standards.
But yeah, so that's what I'm doing there. And obviously for here, txhchockey.com/VFTG for the show specifically. Yeah. So with that, Sasha, take us out real quick. Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much for listening, and may the power protect you.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's my line, but yeah, sure. And ladies and gentlemen, until our next Morphin Novel episode, may the power protect you.